The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Wow, I wish I could sing that good. Amen. That is good. Thank you, fellas. Appreciate that so very much. Take your Bible, if you will, and go back to the book of Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 13. I do apologize. I much rather use the lapel mic, but it was dropped and was broken. And so we're going to try and replace it. But for the time being, if you don't mind, at least I don't have one of these red type of things up here, or orange. I preached in churches before, and where they have the handheld mics, and I would much prefer, of course, a handheld mic over a pulpit mic, because I have a tendency to kind of move around a little bit, and I think it's in my genes, and so I kind of move around a little bit, and boy, I tell you what, when they have this one that has like an orange thing or a red thing, how many ever saw Bozo the Clown many years ago? That's what I feel like. I feel like Bozo the Clown. And they're staring at my mic rather than listening to the Bible truth. So thank you, fellas, for having a black one. I appreciate that, Brother Mason and the others involved there. Now watch this. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Now, I want to repeat some things I said a moment ago just for simplicity's sake. And that is this: he had not yet felt like he had arrived. The Bible says, "But this one thing I do." So he has total focus, pointage, if you will. Nothing's distracting him, left or right. He's focused. He said, "Forgetting those things which are behind." Now, can I tell you, everybody here tonight has things. Maybe when you were a child. Maybe when you were a teenager. Maybe when you were a college student. Maybe when you were single, not yet married. Maybe during your courting, dating, or engagement years. Maybe during the time that you first was married and there was some problems. Maybe during the times of birth. Maybe during the times of child rearing. Maybe during the times of that which is having a teenager. And that's where the Bible talks about tumultuous times shall come. Or maybe as you got older, maybe there's some times in your life where you had to look back, now that you are older and you have passed those times, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, I can tell you, the future is always before. I am the type of person that I have a pretty much, I try to keep anyway, a pretty much a bright outlook on things. I do. I always try to look at the positive. I have sometimes some negative people around me, but I try to look at the positive. I try to see the good in someone. I try hard at that, very hard. I try very hard if a young preacher gets up to preach and he says something that's not quite right, I try to give him a little bit of grace, realizing that he's going to grow in grace. Or if somebody makes a stupid mistake, and we've had people, yes, people that's even members that has made stupid mistakes, and I try to overlook that, and I try to help them, and I try to be there. I try to cheer them on when they're doing right, and try to stand beside them. Now, here's what Paul said. He said, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Some of you have a great outlook, and you have a great future ahead of you. He says, I press, and that's a push, a constant press. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's no greater calling than the calling to do God's will. And we ought to press towards that which is the will of God in our individual lives. There was David Kinnaman. He's the president of the Berna Group, which does a lot of research. And he said, when considering a New Year's resolution, which I'm speaking about tonight, he said, in considering a New Year's resolution among Americans, their focus is very surprising, such as in 2014, he said 30% of Americans, their goal for their New Year's resolution was to lose weight, diet, or become healthier. 30%. 15% wanted to make more money, get out of debt, and have their financial world in order. 13% found something that they wanted to improve themselves, a personal improvement. 12% wanted to start, a new addiction. 5% wanted to get a better job or a career. 5% wanted to become more spiritual in something church related. 4% wanted to be able to improve their educational status. Now you put all that in a mixer and you press the on button and you see what comes out of that. You'll find some common denominators. You'll find out that one of those denominators is this, and that is a person wants to be a better person. A person wants to be giving more. A person wants to be more personable. A person wants to have more leisure time. A person wants to be organized in their personal life, home, and in their affairs. We also find out that they want to be a better person overall. Now, those are common denominators. If you take all those percentages and you put it into a mixer and you hit the on button and let it mix together real good and then pour it out in a cup, that's what you get out of that. We also understand that there's other things, such as some people want to quit smoking. Some people want to get in a different shape physically than their present shape. We find out that people want to be able to make things count. But in order to do that, they have to know what does count. Can I tell you, there's not going to be any greater peace or any greater satisfaction that a person can have than to know what God's will is for their life and to step within that will of God. Let me show you a couple of things tonight as we can make 2015, which is right around the corner. It isn't that hard to believe. I was coming up as a young person, I thought I'd never see the year 2000 come. 2000 came and left. Then I thought 2005, that's going to be extraordinarily exciting. And it wasn't. And it came and left. Then 2010, now we're heading right into the 2015. I saw things years ago written about strange things that would happen in 2015. We'll see if those strange things happen. I want us to notice some things, however, we can make 2015 a better year. Statement number one, I want, and I believe you could agree with me on several of these, I want to forget the past and press forward. I want to forget the past and press forward. I want to have a greater year in 2015 than I had in 2014. I want to be able to accomplish more in my personal life, my family life, my church life, my spiritual life, my educational life, if you would please, my social life, and all other areas of life. I want to be able to forget the past and to simply press forward. And that's what Paul said. He said, brother, and I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I'm not yet arrived. He said, but this one thing I do. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And by the way, if you do that, you'll always have a bright outlook. If you're always reaching forward, if you're always trying to accomplish and trying to better yourself in the eyes of God, yea, and in the eyes of others, can I tell you, you'll have a bright outlook. Statement number two, I want to keep my eyes on the Lord. I don't want to get distracted or disoriented because of a person or because of a place or because of an event. I want to keep my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Psalm 121 and verse 1, the Bible says, the songs of degrees, he said, well, I lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. The Bible says in verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now, can I tell you, man cannot answer prayer, but God can answer prayer. And God is pretty good at answering prayer. When all of a sudden distress time comes, when all of a sudden problems come, you can't run the man. Man will let you down, and man doesn't have all the wisdom about all things, but God has all wisdom about all things. Now, if I was going to run to a man, I'd run to a man that is has his mind in the Word of God. I would run to a man that is saturated, if you would please, by the Word of God. I remember many times I would go into my preacher, my pastor, Brother Williams. And Brother Williams was an older man of God. And I would go into Brother Williams and I would say, look, I've got a major decision to make in my life and I need your insight. I want to make sure that I'm not going to drag my family through the fire. And I want your help to be able to make the right just and wise decision. And so I would go to my pastor, and many times somebody looking in, not somebody that's driving the car necessarily, will be able to give you insight that you never even thought of yourself. All right? And so what am I saying? I'm saying this. I want to keep my eyes on the Lord. I want to keep Him first. I want to be able to hold on to some things that God has placed in my life and to make sure that those things continue to be steadfast in my life. Statement number three, I want to trust the Lord's way and work. I want to trust the Lord's way. His way is always best. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. All right, so what I want to do is I want to be able to trust in the Lord. The Bible talks about how your heart is full of vain imaginations. You cannot trust your heart, but you can trust that which is the Lord. So he says to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. You say, well, I think I ought to do this. You better make sure that it lines up completely with Bible truth. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Statement number four, I say, I want to walk in the sweet fellowship with the Lord. Walk in sweet fellowship. There's nothing like fellowshipping with the Lord to be able to help you. Find sweet fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a friend that has turned on you, but the Lord will never turn on you. You may have somebody that gets on Facebook and tries to unface you, but the Lord will never unface you. You know, it's amazing to me that that people will try to discredit people. It's amazing to me the negativism that I hear in today's society. Well, that just kind of lets me know what they've been chewing on, or what they've been eating, and what they've been digesting. Now, can I tell you tonight that we're supposed to take and we're supposed to put our trust in the Lord? And the Bible tells us this. The Bible says in Genesis even, chapter 6 and verse 9, these are the generations of Noah, and Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, plural, and Noah walked with God. There's nothing like walking with God. All of a sudden, you hit a low time in your life. Maybe your husband doesn't understand, and maybe your wife doesn't understand, and maybe somebody else doesn't understand. But I tell you, God always understands. God will help you, and God will encourage you, and God can walk beside you. And when it seems like that nobody else can make it right, God, I never will forget the first time my mother used to call it a boo-boo. And I remember the first time I ever got a boo-boo in my life. I was about age 6. And I got a boo-boo, and to me, it was a bad boo-boo. I mean, I thought I was going to bleed to death. It was such a bad boo-boo. And I went running into my dear mother, and my mother said, oh, you got a boo-boo. And she began to pick me up, and she began to hug me, and she began to take and care about me, and filled my side of the face full of kisses. And by the time I got done, not only did I feel very loved, I felt like that my boo-boo was worth it. Because I felt like if I didn't have the boo-boo, I wouldn't have got all that sugar. And so I decided all through my life that I'd spend my life getting boo-boos. Well, not really. But I'll tell you for sure, I can tell you that there's nothing like walking in the sweet fellowship of the Lord. And Noah did that. Noah had those that tried to rise up and tried to stop him from building that gigantic, monstrous thing called an ark. But yet, the Bible teaches that Noah walked with God. And so Noah was able to complete the course simply because he walked with God. Statement number next. I want to choose, think with me now. I want to choose the reproach of Christ rather than the pleasures of this world. Choose the reproach. That's what Moses did. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25, the Bible says, choosing rather to suffer, it says, affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, how long is the season? I don't know. You don't know. But I know people that get caught up in sin. A person can have a life that's above reproach. A person can have a good name, and yet just a little bit of time can ruin that forever because of sin. Now, can I tell you, you and I ought to decide that we want to walk in the sweet fellowship with the Lord. We ought to decide that we want to choose the reproach of Christ rather than having great riches or pleasures that the world offers. And by the way, the world will offer you such. The world will offer you such great riches and pleasure to try and keep you out of church, get you disoriented, and cause you not to obey Jesus Christ. The world will tempt you. The world will put snares in front of your feet so that you'll trip and so that you'll fall and so that you go into a pit that's very difficult, even with help, to be able to get out of that pit. Now, can I tell you, we have to be those that decide, and that's what it's about, making a decision. You make a decision that you will live so far above reproach that nothing can grab you and drag you down. Because if you get too close to the edge of the pit, you're going to fall in. If you allow yourself to be able to fellowship with the foolish, if you allow yourself to be able to make choices whereby it invokes God's judgment on your life, then it's hard to recuperate. Statement number 6, I want to learn to be more patient in trials. You know, trials will come. Boy, I had kidney stones this past year. To me, now to others, that might not have been a big deal, especially if you've never had them before. But to me, those kidney stones was a trial. I remember flying up to preach for a brother, Bill McSpadden. I had some dental work done over in the Philippines, and Brother McSpadden and I have become fast, close friends. And as a matter of fact, we're even texting each other today about another meeting, and he and I have become fast, close friends. And I was flying up there, and I had some dental work done over in the Philippines. And did you know, as I was flying up there to preach for that dear brother, I found out that that tooth and that nerve was still very much alive. And boy, it started hurting me. I mean, because of that air pressure, you know, it started hurting me. And I tell you, every night I went over, they had a Walmart next to the place I was staying, and I went over and I got Tylenol and I got ibuprofen and any other type of thing that I could find. I mean, I wasn't trying to become a drug addict overnight. I was just looking for help. And boy, I got that stuff and I began to take that stuff, and it still did not help me the way I wanted it to help me. Now, can I tell you, you learn to be patient in trials. I came back and I flew back and got back in town here, and I'm kind of stubborn when it comes to the doctors, as some of you may know. And I went down to the hospital. I had a problem doing the youth revival, and man, I tell you what, we gave Brother Bachman that doctor's degree. You remember that? And all of a sudden, he got confused. He thought it was a medical doctor's degree. You know, and so he thought that he had now become an expert in the medical field. And so him and Mike Ray cornered me in my office, and I was coming over from the gym. We had a good youth revival, and those guys preached up a storm, and new churches that came, and it was an exciting time. And I was talking to one of the youth pastors over there in the gym, and I don't know what happened to me. I got lightheaded, and my legs become jello. And I started to fall. I mean, I started going down. And so I hollered for one of the college boys to come help. And of course, he came over. And another guy came over, and they drugged me. I couldn't walk. I mean, I was just nothing but jello. And they drugged me into my office, and they threw me into the – well, no, they didn't. But they put me into the chair, and I sat there. And Brother Ray heard about it, and Brother Bachman heard about it. And they came in, and Brother Bachman, you know, is very studious. And he came in, and he said, "Now, let me tell you." He said, "I'm a doctor. I need to give you some advice." Now, we just gave an honorary doctorate degree not more than 45 minutes prior to that. He said, "I need to tell you, you need to go to the hospital. You can't have things. This is not normal." Well, I knew it wasn't normal. But I didn't know if it was flu bug or whatever. And so I went down to the hospital. And I don't necessarily suggest this, but I went down to the hospital and I had them to evaluate me. And I found out it wasn't my heart. And I found out that the blood pressure was okay. And so I looked at, and the doc said, I want to keep you over. Because we believe that that's not normal. I said, yeah, I had two other doctors tell me that. And he said, we believe it's not normal. And he said, we need to keep you over for evaluation. I said, well, I really can't do that. I'm sorry. I said, we're in the middle of a big conference, and I've got to be there. He said, no. He said, I don't advise you to leave here. And I said, well, you found out it's not my heart, at least for these evaluational things you did. You found out my blood pressure's okay, so it probably means I'm going to live through the night. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and check myself out. And, oh, he said, you can't do that. I said, oh, yes, I can. And he said, you need to stay. And I said, oh, no, I don't. And I think you've evaluated me enough. I kept seeing dollar bills going up in my head. I said, I think you've evaluated me enough. You found out it's not my heart, and my heart's in good order, and you found out my blood pressure's in good order, and so it's probably a fluke. And he said, well, preacher, if it's not a fluke, you could wind up dead. I said, well, then it would be a bad fluke. But I said, I need to check myself out. And so I checked myself out. And by the way, because of that, they didn't charge me a penny, Brother Stead. Isn't that neat? Didn't charge me one penny. And I may die tonight, but they didn't charge me one penny. Now, I checked myself out. And now, right, I checked myself out. And okay, but now watch this, if you will. I'm saying this. You be patient in trials. Be patient in trials. You let God be able to steer you, and you be patient. Don't be quick to jerk the wheel in 2015. Normally a hasty decision is a wrong decision. So you be very patient. You pray over things a long time. Before we became pastor here, I told my wife, I said, honey, we need to pray over this a long time. We fasted and we prayed and we asked the Lord to show us. We didn't want to jerk the wheel. We didn't want to jerk the wheel. I mean, I was going to move my family here, and this is where they're going to be rooted. This is where they were going to grow old. They were going to grow old. And this is where they probably meet who they would marry. This is probably where they're going to raise their young, bury their dead. Us. It's not encouraging. That's not good. I don't like that idea. But anyway, but we prayed. We did. We prayed. And we took a long time. We took a long time. I remember Brother May, when Brother May first contacted me, he said, why don't you move here and be on staff? Be a staff evangelist. I said, well, if I wanted to be on staff somewhere, staff evangelist, I'd do it, but I don't want to be on staff evangelist there. I said, if you want me to come and be the pastor or consider it, I'll come, but I'm not going to be no staff evangelist. I'm not going to move to Texas just to be a staff evangelist. I'm doing that right now. Be no different. He said, why don't you consider coming and maybe being with us about 6 months? I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, if you change your mind, then I'm stuck in Texas. Now, by the way, I like Texas. He said, well, why don't you consider 3 months? I said, no, I won't do it. If you want me to come, I'll come, but I'm not going to come and wait. It's either God's will or not God's will. And so we talked about it for some time, and before you know it, he called me back, and he said, I just believe it's the will of the Lord. Now, by the way, you listen to me. You be patient. You be patient. You Bible college students, you say, well, I'll tell you what, I want out now, and release me, and that way I can go do something great for God. Hey, if you came here believing it's the will of God, then you ought to stay here believing it's the will of God. There was great lessons for Joseph to learn in his prison. There was great lessons for David to learn, if you would please, as he ran from the king and was held up in caves. And sometimes it's not all glory. It's not always being on top side. Sometimes it is lonely. Sometimes it is disappointing. Sometimes it is a road of despondence and disparity. But I can tell you, the will of God is always the will of God. And the will of God is something you ought to decide. That's what I'm going to do all the days of my life. I'm saying this. I'm saying that I want to learn to be more patient didn't sound like it a moment ago. I want to learn to be more patient in trials. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. The Bible says, not that I speak in respect of want. Now, this is Paul, a very humble man. He says, for I have learned in whatsoever state, we often kid about that, don't we? Whatsoever state of Louisiana, state of Texas, state of California. But he's talking about the state of being, not the state of the United States or those states they're in. He says, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Be content. Be satisfied is what that's talking about. You know, church is not, stay with me. Church is not a place you come where every service is an A+. At least in your mind. Sometimes you'll have services in your mind and in your heart that's a C, but in somebody else's heart and mind, it's an A+. See, sometimes you'll be up here and you don't need as much up here. But somebody else that comes, they're down here. And God's trying to get them up here. So sometimes when you come to church, you say, well, I don't always get a golden nugget. Well, it might be that maybe you're so right with God, you don't need a golden nugget right now. He'll give you a brass coin instead. But somebody else needs a golden nugget. Sure. Sometimes your presence, let me help you. Sometimes your presence alone is an encouragement for another believer. Did you know that? Brother Wislowski, say what you will about him. And you could probably say much. But he's always there. Comes in late on a Wednesday night. Still has his FedEx. Sometimes outfit on. Smells like FedEx. But he's here. Some of you other dear men, on Wednesday night, I watch you. I'm not blind. I know your sacrifice. I've seen you. You come in late. But you're here. I watch some of you precious ladies, and you are rushed to get here. You tell me you are. So I know it's true. I've had ladies apologize to me in the hallway. Preacher, please forgive me. My hair is a mess. I was rushed to get out of the house and get here. Well, first off, I don't pay attention to your hair. How did I know it was a mess? I thought that was normal. But you're here. Look, can I tell you tonight, we ought to learn to be patient. By the way, be patient with other people when they're not patient with you. If somebody is not being nice and kind and patient to you, that's no reason not to be nice and kind, patient to them. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, not that I speak in respect of one, as I read a moment ago, for I have learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Just to be content. Boy, if I'd sat down at my mother's supper table and I wasn't eating something on the plate, she'd look at me and she'd say, Michael, eat it. And sometimes I would give her a lame brain excuse, such as, Mom, do I have to? And she would say, I put that on your plate, not for you to stare at, but for you to eat it. And if you eat it, you'll be strong one day. You'll have muscles. I've been eating ever since, and it doesn't work quite that way. But can I tell you tonight, learn to be patient in the trials. Statement number next, I'm almost done. I want to be an encouragement instead of a discouragement to the brethren. I want to be an encouragement, not a discouragement. When I see a brother or sister walking down the hallway, I want to be able to say, if I read their countenances down, how are you doing? Is everything okay? Is everything all right with you right now? I want to be able to put my arm around another brother in Christ and be able to say, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Need to talk, you let me know. I'm here for you. I want to be able to look at somebody that has a countenance that has changed and know them so well that I know that their countenance has changed. I want to be an encouragement instead of a discouragement to the brethren. Now, how do I do that? Well, here's what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the matter of some is. I can't encourage somebody if I'm not here to do it. Can't do it. This is the largest gathering of our church members of any given time on a Sunday night. So what if I decide one Sunday night, I just don't feel like coming? What if I decide one Sunday night, and by the way, I have feelings just like you. Have I had people that's hurt my feelings? Well, sure. Have I had people that's broken my heart? Sure. I'm human just like you are. But what if I decide that I was going to stay home and suck my thumb? What if I decide, woe is me, I'm going to stay home, and I'm going to see if I can get some encouragement by getting on Facebook. That was a joke, see? Now, wait a minute. Here's what it says. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the matter of some is. There is going to be people that forsake the local church. They'll forsake it to chase a dollar bill. They'll forsake it because they want pleasure. They'll forsake it because here's what they do. They say, well, I believe in the family. Well, God also believes in the family, but he also, through his son, created the local church, and God has perfect balance. Now, watch this, if you will. And so he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another. That means lifting each other up, encouraging one another. The Bible says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So as we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is getting ready to come, what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to encourage one another. We're supposed to strengthen each other. Now, how do we do that? Well, number one, here's what we see, that we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, so much the more, you're going to see it as the day of the Lord Jesus Christ is approaching. So much the more as we get closer to the time of the rapture. Now, you say, but you can't judge when the rapture is going to come. That is correct. The Bible says that no man knoweth the day nor the hour, but you can preclude that we're getting closer to the rapture because of the fact of the tribulation that follows the rapture, and you're getting to see a lot of tremors that are taking place that's pointing to that which is the tribulation. So here's what we do understand, that there is a time, the Bible says, as we get closer to the return of Christ, or yea, the tribulation period, that there's going to be a falling away. Falling away. And by the way, we could pack this place out tonight, Brother Sweatman, if we wanted to. I tell you for sure, we could do it. We could go to a route of some of our compromising churches that's here in this area. We could do it. We could turn this platform into a stage. We could have entertainment. We could. We could turn this thing into some type of you could turn it into an entertainment type of center. You could do it. We could sell tickets. We could put our girls in short dresses. We could put our boys in earrings, nose rings, tongue rings, lip rings, chin rings, eyebrow rings, and bald head rings. We could do that. Now, I'm going to tell you for sure, we're not going to. I believe there's going to be a day when people get, matter of fact, I was reading, I do that from time to time, but I was reading about what's drawing people in the U.S. to churches. And here's what they're saying. Classic, they call it classic, old time services. Because once they come to it, they're refreshed, but they just don't know that that still exists. Now, by the way, those that did that survey also survey for some of the largest companies that's in the world, and they're dead right on. So the more that, don't be ashamed of your church. Hey, don't be ashamed of an old-fashioned religion. Don't talk it down, talk it up. I'm telling you, I'd rather have a young man looking like a young man than a young man looking like a boy in sissy britches. I'd rather have a young man that knew how to shake a hand like a man than to shake a hand like a homosexual. Hey, look, I'm telling you tonight that it is important that we encourage each other. And the way that you can, hey, if you believe in it, stand for it. If you believe in it, shout about it. If you believe in it, testify for it. Hey, old-fashioned religions from an old-fashioned book, and you don't need something that's new and fangled and watered down, and all it is an entertainment center. What's going to change America is old-fashioned preaching. I'm saying tonight, you want to encourage the brother, then don't be a discouragement. You be faithful if you believe in it. By the way, you listen to me. Don't say you believe in it if you don't practice it. At least have the common decency to be true about it. You be one that sticks to it. Hello? Can I tell you, we ought to encourage each other. Statement number next. And I'm almost done. And that is, I want to remain fruitful and faithful to the things of God. Fruitful. How do I become fruitful? By being faithful. Can I tell you something? I'd rather a guy win 5 people to Christ in a year and be fruitful by being faithful than a person that is not fruitful because they're never faithful. In my travels across the land, I've seen pastors, honestly, they have no organizational skills. I'm not browbeating, I'm not pointing, I'm giving a view, that's all I'm doing. But they have no organizational skills and they can't preach their way out of a wet paper bag. But they stayed. They went through hard times, splinters, splits, criticism, good people leaving the church, and they leave as good people, and then once they do leave, they become critics. Then they try to destroy the church from without by criticizing everything that is within that church. By the way, that person's not a godly person. But you listen to me tonight. I've seen men of God that has gone through such, and they stayed faithful. I preach for men of God that's been there 20 and 30 years, and they just kind of turned their nose up at the critics like old Nehemiah did, and he stayed on the wall, and God blessed their work. Can I say that you ought to remain fruitful, and to remain fruitful, you have to be faithful. Paul said, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 7, he said, I have fought a good fight. He said, I have finished the course, my course. He said, I have kept the faith. Statement number next, I've got one more night, I'm done. I want to study the Word of God more. More. I thank God for our deacons. Thank you. Thank you very much. I thank God for outstanding men in this church that helped me. I thank God for each bus captain, each bus driver. If Brother Yao called me today and said, Preacher, I need you to drive a bus, I would have to look at him and say, Brother Yao, I'm sorry, I can't. I've got so much on me right now, there's just no way I could pick up another stick. I can't do it. But we got good men in this place. Yesterday, I saw Brother Sweatman. I saw John Bell. I was really disturbed. I decided to go around and cut off some lights. And in cutting off the lights, I saw some classrooms that I guess they had just not yet been touched. They're not vacuumed. The trash was not emptied. And, oh, man, it just disturbed me so much. And I said, we're going to have visitors here tomorrow, and they can't walk in and see cookies all in the carpet. They can't do that. That's not right. And I said, I need some help. And I turned to Brother Sweatman. I said, can you help me, please? And he's gracious and kind enough to say, yes, I'll be able to. And he grabbed the vacuum. I saw John walking down the hallway. John had already been working somewhere. I don't know what he was doing, but he had sweat dripping down his back. He's probably running away from that girl that was chasing him. I don't know. But he had sweat dripping off of his back. And I said, John, do you mind helping me? We got some classrooms that's completely in disarray. And we got visitors coming tomorrow. And I tell you what, it's going to be sad. They walk in here and they see cookie crumbs all over the carpet. And you don't want people to see that. Can you please help me? Oh, yes, sir. What do you need me to do? He said, I've got these windows to wash first. If it's okay, preacher, can I? I said, oh, yeah, do that. But after that, can you? And he said, oh, yeah, I will. And he stayed right on. We had boys that came up. I know Joey came up here, Joey Hernandez, and other boys that came up. And the reason Joey sticks out in my mind, he walked all the way from home to come up here at 6:30 in the morning to meet us up here during the summertime. And we took out the weeds on the parking lot that was coming up in between the crevices. And there's a lot of hard work that we put in this place over the summertime, him and many, many other boys that I'll not have time enough to name. But I'm saying this, I'm saying that that's what church is. Church is just not a place where you come and lap it up. Church is a place where we work together. I've watched several people come here and become members and they get right involved. That's the way it ought to be. I watch people that go through our auditorium and after the evening services or after the morning service, here's what they do. They'll go around and they'll straighten up the hymn books because they know another service is coming. Nobody's asked them to do that. But they pick it up by themselves and they do it. That's what church is. It's not just coming to church and sitting. By the way, the ones that come and sit get bored. If you get bored long enough, you want to go and find something else where you're not bored. Well, instead of going and finding something else, why don't you get on board? There's so many things for people to do to serve. And oh, now, you don't have to have your light, your name up in lights all the time. That's not what it's all about. Brother Bell is older than I am, I think. Are you older than I am? Good. He follows me around. I mean, he follows me around like I'm an old man. He says, preacher, what do you need? Now, I know for sure Brother Kazar is older than I am. Is that right? Brother Kazar comes up to me often. Here's what he says. He says, I'm here to hold your hands up, preacher. That's all I'm here for. He tells me that more times I can shake a stick at. Preacher, I'm just here to hold your hands up. You tell me what you need, and I'll do it. And he's a very sincere man. Other men that's in here, Brother Stead texts me all the time, Brother Crutcher, all the time. And here's what he says in those texts. He says, I love my preacher. He just texts me all the time, I love my preacher. He don't have to say anything more than that. He's come with me to the Philippines, and he'll say, preacher, I'm just here for you. I came on the trip to hold your hands up. You tell me what you need me to do, and I'll do it. Now, can I tell you that that's what we should be doing to each and every other person? But when you help the preacher to be able to do stuff, it allows me to be able to study the Word of God more, to be able to give you more of what you need. And that's what men in the church are supposed to do. They're supposed to help the preacher so that the preacher can have more times for studying the Bible and for prayer. That's taught in the book of Acts, if you'll read it. The Bible teaches in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let me give you one last thought and I'm done. I want to be found watching for the Lord's return. Brother Butler Sr. and his precious wife, they came joined here. Honestly, I've not asked them to do this, but they do it anyway. But on Sunday mornings early, they come up, and they'll just kind of walk around a little bit. And they'll make sure this is in order and this is placed. And now, wait a minute. He didn't have to do that, but he does. Look, what am I saying? And I can name you. I could call your name out tonight. Please don't get upset with me. Please don't get mad at me because I didn't call your name out because of the duty that you do. We would be here for the next 3.5 hours. But I am saying tonight, I'm saying that we watch for the Lord's return. Let me give it to you, just three verses and I'm done. Mark chapter 13 and verse 35, 36, and 37. The Bible says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening or at noonday or at the cock crowing or in the morning. Bible says, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Now, why does he say that? Well, he explains. Verse 37. The Bible says, and what shall I say unto you? I say unto you all, watch. Brother Barker, I'm watching for his return. I can't wait. I'm being honest, Brother Kruff, I can't wait. I can't wait for him to return. I expressed myself this morning how I was a young man, and I'd say, no, not now. And then I got married, and we're going to have kids. No, not now. And then the kids started growing and went into it. No, not now. But now I'm getting to the age, and yes, I know I got grandbabies that's going to be coming here, and the future's to come. But can I tell you, I cannot wait for the Lord's return. But while I'm here, I want to give it my best. We have several engaged couples now that's in our church. And Daniel and Rebecca's going to be married and engaged. And then, of course, there's Daniel and Edna, just recently engaged. And others that's going to make some remarkable headway in that direction. Well, can I tell you, I certainly want to see them serve the Lord. But I fear for their children. I watched our America change. I remember hearing great men of God of yesteryear saying, America's changing, America's changing, America's changing. But can I tell you, the America that they saw changing was not changing as fast as our America is changing. We are taking an extreme jump to the left. We're becoming more communist, more socialist than anything I've ever seen so quickly brought in by any one president that we've ever had in America in his administration. You say, well, maybe if we get a different administration, it'll all be different. Well, maybe so, maybe not. But I do know this. We have a responsibility. And our responsibility lies within those things I just gave you a moment ago. We ought to make sure that we do our part in being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because we don't know when his return will take place. Boy, if his return takes place tonight, good place to be is in church. If his return takes place tomorrow morning, a good place to be is with a Bible spread open in your lap, meeting with God through the Holy Spirit. If his return is on Thursday night, then a good place to be is in church, dressing crazy so that you shock him once you arrive. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.